Good morning. It is a blessing to be here with you today at Fireside Fellowship. It is always a blessing to gather with the people of God, and it is a blessing for me to be here. Of the 53 churches in our association, I have preached at almost all of them. After today, I will have preached at all but about 8 or 9, and so it's always a blessing to preach the word of the Lord and to stand before you here today. I do have a lot of my family here with me today, my wife and several of my kids and some of their friends and fiancés, girlfriend things and all this, and I have a little girl with me too. You saw her come up here and stand with me a couple of times. Her name is Dalia, but we call her Pickle, and I'm certainly hoping she's a sweet pickle today and not a sour pickle like she sometimes is. But if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them with me to the book of Matthew chapter number 21. Matthew chapter 21. As you're turning, I do want to let you know that I'm doing something a little bit different today. And that's because of my eyesight. I developed fast-growing and severe cataracts in both of my eyes. And a week and a half ago, I had surgery on my left eye, which means I can see really good out of this left eye from a distance, not as good up close. And this eye, I'm having surgery this week on my right eye, and everything is very blurry. I mean, my hand right there is blurry. Y'all are blurry if I look out of this eye. And to be honest with some of you guys, I'm going to be looking out of this eye to look at you, all right? Because you look better that way. But instead of having my Bible up here, I have the words printed out kind of big so I can see it better. So hopefully that won't cause any problems on my part. Hopefully it won't cause any problems on your part. I also want to say thank you for your support of the Big Emory Baptist Association. As I said, there's 53 churches in the association, and that ranges from way up in Sunbright to south of the river over to Anderson County. We have a couple churches in Anderson County, way over, way far Rockwood into Cumberland County, all of that. So it's a wide area. But because of your church and churches like this church, we're able to do a lot of stuff together. One is we're able to feed and clothe hundreds of people every month through the Storehouse Ministry Center up in Wartburg. Because of the cooperation we have, we're able to evangelize and disciple young people through the Baptist Collegiate Ministry at Roan State. We're also able to do a mission trip every year to the Navajo Reservation that some of y'all here in this church are a part of. We've also just opened up and haven't yet started doing counseling there, but we've remodeled and are getting ready to start biblical counseling through our association. Oh goodness, we have Ministry Training Institute classes where folks can get a diploma through Samford University's Ministry Training Institute, and so much more. We're able to encourage pastors, help churches find pastors, and do some amazing things because of churches like this one that support and help and do all those things. So I praise God for all of that. I'm not here to talk about that, though. We're here to look at the Word of God. If you're able to, please stand with me for the reading of the Word of God found in Matthew chapter number 21. Lord willing, we'll be reading verses 1 through 9, and then later we'll flip to another passage. But starting now in Matthew chapter 21, starting verse number 1. The Bible says, "When they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus then sent two disciples, telling them, 'Go into the village ahead of you. At once you'll find a donkey tied there with her colt. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and then he will send them at once.' This took place so that what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled. 'Tell daughter Zion, see, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.' The disciples went and did just as Jesus directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they laid their clothes on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their clothes on the road. Others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them on the road. Then the crowds who went ahead of him and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven.'" Let's pray together. Father, thank you for what's already happened today. Father, for these folks, as they have gotten up this morning, got out of their beds, got themselves ready to come to church, Father, thank you. Thank you for the study that's already happened. Thank you for the praise that we've already had. Thank you for the fellowship, Lord, that we have enjoyed. Thank you for all of that. But now, Father, as we come to this time where we look at your word together, I pray that you'd be glorified in it and through it. Help us to hear what we need to hear, to be moved and transformed in the ways that we need to be moved and transformed. Challenge us, change us, convict us, draw us near, make us more like Christ. Lord, do all these things through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Y'all may be seated. Thanks for standing with me for a moment. You've seen videos probably, like I've seen videos, and heard reports like I've heard reports and been told otherwise of times where celebrities have been pulled over on the side of the road, or they've been arrested at their homes, or they've been stopped for questioning, and they've looked at the officer, they've looked at the person who is doing the stopping and the arresting, and they've said something like this: "Do you know who I am? Do you know who it is you're dealing with?" I was reminded just the other day of one involving Justin Timberlake. Y'all know who Justin Timberlake is. He's a singer and all of that. He was stopped many years ago for apparently suspicion of DUI. And as he stopped, the officer is talking to him, and the officer has no idea who Justin Timberlake, one of the most well-known singers, at least at the time in the world, was. He doesn't know him from Adam. He doesn't know who Justin Timberlake is. And Justin Timberlake, as he's stopping him and as he's dealing with him, the officer is, Justin Timberlake says, "This is going to really mess up the tour." And the officer looks at him and says, "What tour?" And Justin Timberlake says, "The world tour." You see, Justin had an idea that just because he was some sort of world touring musician that he should get some special treatment. I've seen it with football players. I've seen it with basketball players. Maybe you have as well. So the officers don't really know who they're dealing with. So as we come to this time right now, looking at this passage together, I hope we know who we're dealing with. You see, Jesus at the end of the week, that starts right here in this passage, at the end of this week, toward the end of the week, he is going to be crucified. He is going to be taken and beaten and mocked and spat upon. He is going to be treated terribly and awfully and maliciously. He's going to be lied about. He's going to be taken and they're going to make a crown of thorns and place it upon his head and beat him over the head with a reed. They're going to do terrible things to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to flog him. They're going to harm him. They're going to do terrible things to him. Do they know who they're dealing with? After all of that, they're going to take him up Calvary's hill, and they're going to put him on a cross, nailing his feet and his hands in place, and raise him up between the sky and the earth. Do they know who they're dealing with? This Jesus is going to die on an old rugged cross. They're going to put him in a borrowed tomb. Aren't you glad we can call it a borrowed tomb? Isn't that great? Because he didn't need it very long. They're going to place him in a borrowed tomb. They're going to place guards around him. Do they know who they were dealing with? Do we know who we're dealing with? When we talk about this Jesus, when so many people in our culture use his name as some sort of derogatory term or a term of exclamation as they say, "Jesus Christ," do they know who they're dealing with? Do you know who you're dealing with? Do you know who this Jesus is? Do you understand who he is? Well, here in this passage, we see some things about who this Jesus is. And I just want to show my hand to you about who this Jesus is and how he's depicted in this passage. This Jesus is the Messianic King. He is the Messiah, the one who was promised. He is the anointed one of the line and lineage of David. He is the one who is to bring salvation, who is to rule and reign sovereignly and completely, who is to bring a kingdom of peace, and whose kingdom, oh, there shall be no end. See, this is not just a mortal man that we're dealing with as he's coming into Jerusalem. This is not just a good teacher that they're going to treat so terribly. This is not just some other guy that the Roman Empire is going to allow and bring to the cross. This is not that. This is God in the flesh. This is the anointed one, the redeemer, the sustainer. This is the one that without him there was not anything made that was made. He is the one that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is Jesus the Christ. So what is it about this passage that shows that he is the Messianic King, the Messiah, the Savior of the world? What is it about this passage that shows it? Well, I want to point some things out to you, and we'll culminate in seeing what we need to see. As he is entering Jerusalem, called the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, I want you to see this Palm Sunday passage. And I want you to realize some things about this passage and this Palm Sunday and his entry. First of all, I want you to see that his entry was prepared. Take a look at verse number 1 again. When they approached Jerusalem, came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus then sent two disciples, telling them, "Go into the village ahead of you. At once you'll find a donkey tied there with her colt. Untie them and bring them to me. If anybody says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once." How in the world did Jesus know that? How did he know that there was going to be a donkey tied there with her colt? How did he know that they were going to be tied up and the disciples were going to have to untie them and bring them? How did he know that if anybody said anything, if they said the Lord needs them, that they would send them to you? How was that known? Because he is the Messianic King. He is God in the flesh. He's the Messiah that was promised. He's not just a mortal man. He knew that there was going to be a donkey there with its colt. He knew that they were going to be tied up. He knew that these were the precise words that the disciples needed to use, and all that would work because he's King, he's Lord, he's God in the flesh. You see, this was not just a haphazard thing that Jesus did going into Jerusalem. Jesus knew what he was doing. He understood what the stakes were. He understood that this whole deal, going into Jerusalem, riding a donkey and the colt of a donkey, he understood that all of this were things that needed to happen. And so the king was prepared by knowing where the donkey would be, where the colt would be, what they needed to do. Do you understand what that means? Do you understand that means that Jesus knows every big thing that there is, and he knows every little thing that there is? Do you understand that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, who has his hand upon everything and is sustaining everything by his great power? At the same time, he knows the particular details of my life and of your life, knowing exactly what we need at every point in our lives all of the time. Oh, he knew about a donkey and its colt. He knew about where exactly they'd find it. He knew it all. Don't he also know the pain and the problems you're going through right now? Don't he also know exactly how to deal with the pains and problems of life that all of us face on a continual basis? Don't he also know what's going to happen to us next week, next month, next year, 5 years, 10 years? Doesn't he also know everything else? The answer is yes. How is he able to know all of that? Because he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Just as he prepared and knew all this that was needing to happen, he knows how I need to be prepared. He knows how I need to be changed. I got to tell you, this whole cataract thing has been aggravating as all get out. I mean, I couldn't drive for a couple of months because of my cataracts, which meant my wife and kids had to drive me around, which meant my prayer life got a whole lot better as they were driving me. As one time one of my kids was driving me, we was going around a corner. I was in the passenger seat, I couldn't really see much, and we were going around a corner, going around a curve, and I leaned over and said, "Hey, listen, I can't hardly see nothing, but I can see you ain't in the right lane, all right?" It's been an aggravation, but at the same time, the Lord has used it to help me to see how reliant I really am on Him and how I need also to rely on other people sometimes. I needed some changes in my own heart and in my own mind, and the Lord allowed what happened to my eyes to show me and teach me and change me. Praise be the name of the Lord. He knew about the donkey and the colt. He knows about you. Are you trusting Him? The disciples, they went off, it says in verse 6, the disciples went and did just as Jesus directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, then laid their clothes on them, and He sat on them. They did what Jesus told them to do because they believed that Jesus was right. Oh, He prepared it, and they trusted Him. Can I encourage you today? Oh, you might think you know a lot, and you might know a lot. We're in the information age, man. I could pull my phone out. I can look up all kinds of stuff just anytime I want to. I can look. I mean, it's amazing, right? But you don't know what Jesus knows. You don't know the hurts that are coming your way. You don't know the problems that you're going to have to face. Jesus, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, He knows it. This whole Palm Sunday triumphal entry was prepared by the King. Understand, if we're part of His kingdom, we need to be getting prepared by the King as well, trusting Him for every step we take. But it goes beyond just mere preparation. This Palm Sunday triumphal entry was not just prepared, it was also prophesied. Take a look again back at verse number 2. Jesus told them, go into the village ahead of you at once. You'll find a donkey tied there with her colt. Untie them and bring them to me. If anybody says to you anything, say that the Lord needs them. He will send them at once. Look, verse 4. This took place so that what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled. What prophet? This comes from Zechariah. Okay? What was spoken by the prophet might be fulfilled. Verse 5, tell daughter Zion, see, your king is coming to you. Daughter Zion is Jerusalem, okay? See, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. That was prophesied directly from Zechariah 9:9 that says this, rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout in triumph, daughter Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, humble and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Here's what's happening as Jesus is doing all this. He's declaring that He is the messianic king that the Old Testament prophesied and promised. Zechariah says the very same thing that verse 5 of Matthew 21 says. The king is coming. This is how He's coming to you. Gentle, mounted on a donkey. This is... These folks were well versed in the messianic scriptures, in the prophecies of the Messiah, the anointed one, of the line and lineage of David, of whose kingdom there will be no end, the one who's going to rule and reign forever and bring salvation and redemption. Okay? And so all of this was prophesied, and Jesus fulfills the prophecy by riding into Jerusalem the way that He does. What does that matter to us right here, right now? If He is who He says He is, He's going to fulfill the prophecies that the Old Testament speaks of Him. If He is indeed the Messiah, the Old Testament prophecies have to be fulfilled in Him. And praise be the name of the Lord, He fulfilled them all. And as He rides into Jerusalem in the way that He does, the people who already have seen and heard of His amazing, miraculous deeds. They've already seen and heard Him teach and preach and proclaim with authority, not like the Pharisees and the scribes, but with authority, with my goodness. He was different. They've already seen Him, heard about Him causing blinded eyes to see and deaf ears to hear and the lame and the crippled walk again. They've already seen and heard about Him raising the dead. Many believing that He's the Messiah, and now He's coming into Jerusalem just as Zechariah promised the Messiah would come. Are y'all still with me? Say amen if you are. I can see you kinda, so I can't really tell if you pay attention or not, all right? Jesus was not just a good teacher. He was not just a good man. He was not just anything. He's the King, the promised King, the anointed one of God, the Messiah, the one kingdom will have no end. The Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. He is the one that was promised in the Old Testament, that showed up here in the New Testament, that rules and reigns forever. Oh, and of his kingdom there will be no end. We have this Messiah. It is Jesus the Christ. There's no more reason to look for the Messiah. There's no more reason to look for the Christ. He has come. He is here. And as he makes the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, he is declaring, hey, that's me. Do you know it's him? Have you given your life to that King? Oh, I hope you have. But listen, I also hope you're living like it. Man, it's easy to say things, isn't it? I could stand up here and say I love mayonnaise. No, oh, I love mayonnaise. I'll put it on everything. I'll slather it up. The truth is, I hate mayonnaise. If I had x-ray vision, I would only probably use it to make sure a sandwich didn't have mayonnaise on it before I ate it. I hate it. I can say that I love it. You can say he's your king, but is he really? Talk is cheap. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll follow and do what I say. He is the King, isn't he? If he's the King, we're supposed to be his subjects. We're supposed to be part of the kingdom. If we're part of the kingdom, we'll listen to the King. And hey, there's no if he's the King. He is. Are you treating him as such? Are you living like it today? Oh, he came in on this triumphal entry, this prepared thing that he prepared because he's able to, because he's God. He comes in riding a donkey and the colt of a donkey. He comes in that way because he's King. Oh, but it wasn't just prepared and prophesied. It was a show of his power. He comes in riding this donkey. Verse 6, disciples went and did just as Jesus directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, then laid their clothes on them, and he sat on them. Verse 8, a very large crowd spread their clothes on the road. Others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them on the road. Then the crowds who went ahead of him and those who followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heavens. This was a show of power. Jerusalem was a city, a bustling city, normally probably in the range of about 40,000 people. But this was the Passover, a pilgrimage feast, a pilgrimage time. And so the population, because of the Jews, came back to Jerusalem for the Passover. It grew from about 40,000 to 250,000-ish probably. Huge number of people. And it caused great consternation in Rome among the Roman governors and generals, because this huge group of Jews would be together. They're under Roman authority. The Roman leaders would have been nervous that something was going to happen, but it wasn't just them who were nervous. The Jewish leaders were nervous, the religious leaders, because they didn't want anybody to upset and overturn the apple cart, and so they were nervous. And in the midst of all this, here comes Jesus. He doesn't care what the Romans think. He doesn't care what the Jewish religious leaders think. He's the Messianic King. And so he doesn't hide his entry into Jerusalem. He comes down Main Street, so to speak, riding into Jerusalem exactly like Zechariah said that the Messiah was going to do. People are shouting and singing and praising and laying palm branches in front of him. That's why it's called Palm Sunday. He's going in there, oh, not worried about Rome, not worried about the religious leaders, following the will of his father. Why is he doing that? Because he has all power and all authority, because he is the Messianic King. He is the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Redeemer, the Sustainer, the Salvation Giver. He's the one that was promised. He ain't worried about all this other stuff because he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So y'all with me, say amen. Amen. All right, listen. He still ain't worried. Isn't that something? My goodness. My dad used to tell me and my ugly brother something a lot. I call him my ugly brother because he's ugly, if you're wondering. Unfortunately, I look a lot like him. My dad used to tell us something. If we were nervous about something, if we had something, maybe a sporting event we were nervous about, or we were kind of scared of something, he would say, "Boys, this ain't no time for sissies." All right? He'd say that a lot. "Don't be scared. This ain't no time for sissies." Can I tell you, no matter what's going on in the world, we don't have to be sissies and cowering over in a corner. We don't have to be worried about, golly, all the nuts that lead various countries all over the world. We don't have to be under the covers, our eyes closed, scared out of our minds. Why? Because the same one who wasn't scared to walk directly into Jerusalem the way that Zechariah said the Messiah was going to, we don't have to be scared because he's still on his throne. And if he's still on his throne, those in his kingdom, which means if you know Jesus as your Savior, that's you. Praise be the name of the Lord. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. We're more than conquerors through him who loved us and gave his life for us. Are y'all happy about that? Tell your faces to look happy about it then. I'm part of a kingdom that has no end. United States, if the world keeps going on, this country could end. Countries rise, countries fall. Just how it goes, okay? I hope it doesn't. I love this country. I love what we stand for, the ideals that we have, all of that. But listen, more than being a United States citizen, I am a citizen of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom that Christ is ruling and reigning over, and of that kingdom there will be no end. And so I have reason to rejoice no matter what happens in this sinful, sin-cursed world. It was a declaration of power that was prepared and prophesied. But I want you to see that it brought on praise. Very large crowd, verse 8 says. How big? I don't know. I can't tell you how big the crowd was. A very large crowd spread their clothes on the road. Others cut branches from trees, spread them on the road. Palm branches signifying victory, signifying trust, signifying, oh, so much. And the crowds who went ahead of him, and those who followed, so the ones going ahead of Jesus and that procession, and the ones following Jesus and the procession, they shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heavens." They gave God praise by asking him to save. See, Hosanna here, it's not just a synonym with hallelujah, although it is partly that. It's also this. They were saying, "Save us." They were begging him to save them. And they praised him as he came in. They knew, at least in this moment, some maybe didn't know as deeply as they should. Maybe they didn't understand exactly what they were saying. But in the moment, oh, they were praising him. Which is what you and I should do. Well, we just did that right before the sermon. We sang songs. If that's all you think praise is, you're missing the boat. Praise is a lifestyle. Praise is what promotes us and motivates us to live and do what the King says to do. Our praise of him is in how we live. Living lives that are sent by him to declare the gospel message. Living lives that are seeking to be, oh, to point people to the Lord, to glorify our God, saying the words that we're supposed to say and leaving off those that we shouldn't. We are living sin and we're praising Him with the lives that we lead and the words that we say and the songs that we sing and the places that we go and the things that we do. Oh, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving praise and honor to God through Him. That's praise. Not songs only. Songs are a part of it. Praise the Lord for good songs. We sang some good ones this morning. Praise the Lord for the songs that you can find on various platforms that point to Jesus and that speak of His glory and His greatness and His grandeur. All of that is wonderful. But I implore you, if you know Him as the King, and if you believe that He is your King, don't just sing songs. Live a life of praise for King Jesus. You see, as they see Him as King of kings and Lord of lords, it shows that we are to do the same thing. And I ask you, are you doing that very thing? Some of you aren't doing that very thing because you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Repenting of your sins, believing in Christ. If that's you today, can I tell you, you don't have to stay that way. You can trust in Jesus Christ today. Give your life to Christ today. You can do that now as He's calling you. You can repent and believe right now. Others of you already are believers, but you're not living as though He's your King. You can change that today. You can make that conscious decision. I'm going to live my life for the honor and glory of my Savior, the honor and glory of the King of kings and Lord of lords. I'm going to follow that one who is greater than all that ever has been and ever will be. You can make that decision today because He is that King. He is that Messiah. He is that anointed one. He's worthy of it all. But He's not just worthy of it all right now. I want to draw your attention back again to what's happening here on Palm Sunday. It speaks to what we are to be doing today. Are y'all listening? It also speaks to what we will do. They spread their clothes on the road, verse 8 says. Others were cutting branches from the trees, palm branches from the trees, spreading them on the road. The crowds who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heavens." This was a large crowd, but it wasn't everybody. I want to point ahead a little bit to when this is going to be done by a whole lot more people. Revelation chapter 7. John is seeing this revelation. And he sees here in heaven this scene that we find in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 through 12. Here's what it says. After this, John says, "I looked, and there was a vast multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language, which no one could number." There was a large crowd back here on Palm Sunday, but one day, a vast multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language, which no one could number. It wasn't just large, it was numberless, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes with what in their hands? Palm branches in their hands. Much like the palm branches that were laid out before Jesus that they were fanning and praising Him with, he sees this huge number, not just of Jews, but of every nation, tribe, people, language, numberless. They're standing and they have white robes. They got palm branches. Verse 10, and they cried out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and along with the elders and the four living creatures, they fell face down before the throne and worshiped God saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." What am I saying? saying here to you that the praise they were having on Palm Sunday is the praise we should have today. And hallelujah, it's the praise that all of God's people from all of the ages are going to have before the throne of the Lamb one day in heaven. Whoo! And if that's the case, let us praise him now. Let us praise him by those who don't know Christ, coming to Christ and accepting him as Savior. Oh, I'd love to share him with you. If you don't know him, I'll be here. I'd love to share more with you. You got other pastors and people here that would love to share more with you. Oh, but listen, those of you who say and who have professed Jesus, you're going to praise him around the throne one day with all the tribes, tongues, people, and nations that have gone on before, all of the people of God with palm branches in their hands, just like they did on that Palm Sunday. And you're going to praise him. I ask you, are you doing it right now? Are you living a life that is honoring and pleasing to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Are you living lives that are pointing people to that Jesus, that Savior? Oh, I implore you. Know Jesus, follow Jesus, love Jesus, serve Jesus, praise Jesus, obey Jesus, live for Jesus, sing for Jesus, talk for Jesus, walk for Jesus. Because he is the Messianic King, the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Christ. Do it all for Jesus. If you're not doing it, come to Jesus today. He's here. Father God, I thank you for your love and kindness. I thank you for your tender mercies that are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Lord, I praise you that you've brought us together today, that we fellowshipped one with another, that we sang your praises, that we looked at your word together. I pray, God, that what we find here on this Palm Sunday, Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, I pray, God, that it will impact us, that it will impact the lost person, that the Spirit of God, Lord, that you'll move in their hearts and you'll draw them to salvation. I pray, God, that it'll impact the life of the saved person, that they will, Lord, decide anew and afresh to follow you as King, to see you as King, to live for you as King. I pray, God, that this time will impact us, Lord, drawing us out of how we've always been, maybe, and changing us. Oh, Lord, for those that are lost, make them alive in Christ. Bring them to Jesus. Have them be saved. For those who are saved, Father, and declare Jesus as King, but maybe they're not living like it. Maybe they're not loving like it. Maybe they're not sharing like it. Maybe they don't have the hallmarks of a kingdom person, Lord. Have them decide today to make that change to where they'll really follow after the King. And Lord, let us all leave here being glad that Jesus is King, that he rules and reigns forever, that he lives forever making intercession for us, that he's gone to prepare a place for us. And if he's done that, he's going to come back and receive us into himself, that where he is, we may be also. Help us to believe in that King who is greater than all, who's stronger than all, who knows it all. Have us trust that King, Lord, who's prepared things for us, Father. Have us believe in that King who has all power and honor and authority, who fulfills every prophecy. Have us live for that King. Oh Lord, make us more like the King. Father, if anybody needs to come and pray, have them do that. If anybody needs to come and talk to someone about salvation, have them do that. If anybody needs, Father, something they miss in their lives, have them come to you now. Oh Lord, work in our hearts and have us bow before the King. It's in Jesus' name.